As DOD goes about the process of figuring out what a military on a tighter budget will look like, many analysts and even some Pentagon leaders have suggested the emphasis will be on sea and air power, with smaller ground forces. Outgoing Deputy Defense Secretary Bill Lynn said as much last week in a farewell address. Without referencing Lynn's comments specifically, General Ray Odierno, the Army Chief of Staff, says he's heard such arguments before.
When I was a Brigadier General in 2001 on the Army staff, I heard the same thing I'm hearing today. We're going to be technology-driven. We're going to be driven by air and sea forces, and we don't need a ground force, and we need to reduce the size of our ground force. And we've gone through the largest deployments and longest war since that time. So my point of the statement I just made is we have to be ready for unknown contingencies. We are terrible at predicting the future. We have never predicted the next conflict that we'll be in. So it's incumbent on us as an Army to ensure that we have a force that's ready to deal with these unknown contingencies, as well as roles we'll play in other strategies and contingencies that we will be planning for.
Odierno speaking with reporters yesterday at the Association of the U.S. Army Conference in Washington. John McHugh, the Secretary of the Army, also says predictions of a reduced reliance on ground forces have been made before. He says incorrectly.
We went into Iraq under the rubric of shock and awe, and after we shocked, after we awed, to secure victory, we had to march. And the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, if you're going to control territory, you have to have a capable land force. I don't see how that changes at any time in the near future. The other thing we always have to be mindful of, in occasions like prior to 9/11, we learned very clearly the enemy gets a vote. And we can dictate to ourselves what kind of a war fight we are postured to make, but we can't dictate to others how they will fight. And we have to have that full spectrum capability in order to meet whatever the threat may be.
But even as they make the case for ground forces, McHugh and Odierno say they're under no illusions about the federal budget and the fact that the Army will have fewer dollars than it's been planning for over the past few years. Odierno says it's likely that the Army will have to shrink down to a size that's smaller than even the current drawdown plans, which call for 520,000 soldiers. How small, he's not yet sure.
Part of it is because I don't know what the cuts are going to be that the Department of Defense gets. We don't know what that is yet. I will tell you is I'm deathly afraid of a sequester. Because if we get a sequester, I believe will fundamentally change how we conduct security operations across all the services.
Sequestration is the scenario that would set in if the Congressional Supercommittee can't come to an agreement on a way to cut the federal budget by more than $1 trillion over the next 10 years. That scenario would trigger further cuts to the military, taking budget reductions already planned at $450 billion and doubling them. Odierno, like other DOD leaders, says the military can handle the $450 billion cut, but he says it'll be difficult. McHugh says the Army is determined not to repeat what current Pentagon leaders regard as mistakes of the past, keeping a large number of troops but slicing away at other areas.
We have had artificially supported end strength in the past, end strength that was hollow, that didn't have the things beneath it that is required to make an effective force, didn't have proper training or funds for proper training, didn't have modernization and readiness programs. I'm reminded of the procurement holidays of the early 90s, for example. So the chief and I are focused on trying to make the best argument we can and developing the best plan we can as to how we remain a balanced force. Our end strength number is subject to discussion, after which time we're given a budget number, because right now we can't see bottom. And until we can and until we know the figure we're working toward, it's a little hard to say exactly where we'll end up.
And Odierno says, given the choice between quality and quantity in the Army, he's determined that quality win out.
No matter what happens, we're not going to have a hollow force. We're going to have a force that of a certain size that has the modernization readiness necessary to be quality. So what we're after is a high-quality force, whatever's left over. The issue becomes, on the size, is what we're able to do with that quality force. So it's not a matter of when do we lose quality and go hollow. Our position is no matter what the size is, it's going to be a quality force, which might cause us to be smaller.
He says some of the options they're looking at include reducing the number of combat brigades. And he says as the Army shrinks, the national security strategy will have to change, something he says Army leaders are trying to make sure political leaders understand. One of those changes, he says, is that the Army will have to give up on the idea of being able to fight two wars simultaneously if it draws down to pre-September 11th levels.
You know, I've read a lot about, well, we said we could do two simultaneous contingencies back in 2001 when the Army was at 480, Well, I would argue we've proven over the last 10 years we could not. And in fact, we had to increase the size of the Army to 570,000 in order to meet simultaneous contingencies in Iraq and Afghanistan. Either we made some miscalculations or whatever, but we made it clear that we were not able to do that.
But just because the Army wants to maintain its modernization and training accounts at a healthy level doesn't mean the service thinks its big acquisition programs are off limits, McHugh says. He points to the SLAM-RAM missile system and the medium extended air defense system as underperforming programs the Army ended on its own recently. He says the new capability portfolio review process will take an ongoing look at big programs.
We're already pretty far down the road on that, and that's going to be an ongoing process where we're going to continue to try to validate and revalidate the kinds of things we're buying and the kinds of programs we're supporting. And when they no longer make sense, we're going to get rid of them. I've issued a directive to take a wholesale look from top to bottom to our temporary task force and offices. And you'd be surprised over 10 years how many temporary task force have been formed. And frankly, we're spending a lot of money. I don't want to prejudge how we're going to come out on that, but I suspect we're going to find that we have some permanent temporary task forces that need to go away.
In Washington, Jared Serbia, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.